The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
It's sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome to Exploring the Word. Bert Harper, Alex McFarland with you today, and it's a joy to come to you and share with you here in Exploring the Word, and we hope that you're having a good day. Well, today we have a very special privilege, Alex. We've got a guest in our studio for the first shortened segment, and it's someone that you have met and know. It's Kendra White. Kendra, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be on the show.
Alex, when she's there, we don't have to worry about the energy, do we?
No, she's great. And Kendra, we're honored to have you on.
Thank you so much.
Well, why we ask you to be on is because American Family Studios, which is an affiliate here of American Family Association, like American Family Radio is, has a new series coming out. And it sounds like it's something that Bert Harper would really enjoy watching with his grandchildren.
We sure hope so. It's called Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. And this is an animated children's series, but we think that the whole family is going to enjoy watching this.
Well, sounds like it would be on my level. Cartoon?
Well,
animated?
Sometimes, there's some kids' programming that you can sit and watch and you're like, this is enjoyable. And then there's others that you're like, can't sit through it. I just can't. In writing this, that's something that we kept in mind, that parents hopefully are going to listen to this over and over again with their kids. And I think there's some humor in it that parents will appreciate and find enjoyable as well.
Well, Alex, let me ask this question, and then I know you have one. Tell us, it's Ryan DeFrady's, and tell us when.
Okay. So the first one, if you are in the Tupelo, Mississippi area, we have a premiere tomorrow night. We're going to be screening two episodes. You can buy tickets for $2, only $2 a piece.
That's
hard
a
to beat that. Yeah. At AmericanFamilyStudios.net. We do still have some seats available, but I would encourage you to purchase those today if possible. But for those of you that can't make it to the actual premiere, the first three episodes are available right now at afastore.net. And basically the way the series works, it is a TV show, and we do have broadcasters that are very interested in it. I can't mention specific names yet because no deals have been signed, but we want to bring it into your homes so that you can just regular broadcast, see it on TV. Now, the broadcast partners are looking for the first season to be finished. A season is 13 episodes.
13 episodes.
We have three that are completely finished and out on DVD, and we're leaking them out to the AFA family and AFR family. You guys are the first to hear about it because we're hoping that as people purchase it and fall in love with these characters, that the funds from those DVD sales will fund the rest of the series. So every penny that you put into this series just goes into writing more episodes.
Amen. Go ahead,
Kendra,
Alex.
Hi, Alex McFarland here. How do you begin to create the characters? And, every character has to have a real personality that shines through. You've got to have a backdrop and a premise and a storyline. Tell us about how you create this whole world that becomes the basis for the show.
We have so much fun. I'm not going to lie. We laugh all the time, and my coworkers think I am crazy because they will walk by and hear me using all these funny voices and experiment with how should this character walk? What should they sound like? I get on the internet and try to look for inspiration from real people, all kinds of crazy
things.
Well,
I have a few friends.
Do you now? You got a few that would make some pretty good characters.
Yeah.
we make a priority the spiritual lessons that are in the story. So a lot of our backstories for different characters are actually kind of based around whatever spiritual truth we're trying to convey. As an example, we've got in the opening episode, there is a granny who she tries to sell the hottest hot sauce at the county fair, and she's just really mad because she gets second place every year. She's so mad that she creates an exploding hot sauce. And starts using it to rob banks. So she's breaking in with this hot sauce. So this crazy granny just kind of developed from a spiritual truth of, you know, pride in your life and wanting to be first.
No one thought, specifically that you've met.
No, we won't mention any names. Okay, yeah, we'll okay. call anybody out. But Jeremy, my brother, and I co-write and create this series. And it's really a pleasure getting to work with him. And, you know, the history behind this series, he's a children's pastor, and these are stories have been kid-tested and mother-approved, like the cereal, right? So he would tell these stories to the kids on a Sunday morning, and the kids just really fell in love with this character, and an opportunity with AFA came to turn it into an animated series. And so, you know, we pull inspiration from everyday life. There's a lot of little inside jokes that only Jeremy and I even, you know, get of characters or people that
right,
we know.
The siblings that siblings know, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Well, one thing that intrigued me was Jeremy writing this, and it coming from him being a pastor, a children's pastor.
Absolutely.
And I was reading the interview that the AFA Journal did with you guys that produced this and wrote it, and he said that he would share it with the children. And the mothers and fathers would come back telling him, said, they love your stories.
Oh, they can repeat every single word. And, you know, the thing I love about Jeremy, and we both share this, is just that he has a passion for communicating the stories in the Bible in an exciting way. And, you know, the Bible is not boring. It Amen. Has some of the most amazing, right. life-changing stories you will ever read. And sometimes we approach kids with the idea of, hey, guys, just be quiet and just give me 2 minutes to tell this story and then I'll give you candy. Like, you have to bribe them to listen to the Word of God, which is so exciting. And so, you know, it's really in the way that you frame it helps them build what they think about the Word of God. And so
it really does.
We include a biblical story into each episode. So there's about a 22-minute story of Ryan DeFrades in this animated world, and then we have a little animated Jeremy and Kendra who come in.
I was going to ask you about
Are
that.
Are we any voices?
Yeah, Alex and I, we have our poster. Alex travels with one, and I have with one.
Yes, your animated
characters. Yeah, and our animated characters. It's so funny. All the guys that does the other talk shows, theirs are real pictures. But for Alex and me, they made one.
Well, you're bigger than life. They didn't know how to.
Thank you, Kendra.
God bless you. Hey, Kendra, Alex here. You know, I want to say something that from working at Focus on the Family, and they had Adventures in Odyssey, which is now in its probably 28th or 29th year. And then, you know, being around a lot of ministries that have used you know, new and existing stories and cartoons and Christian-themed media to reach young people, I want to say this is very, very, very fruitful. And I applaud what you're doing. I know firsthand, I've met hundreds and hundreds of young people that grow up and they follow the Lord, but they really were, a biblical worldview was built in their heart and their mind through media and stories, just like what you're creating. So I applaud you. You're doing a very fruitful thing.
Thank you. Well, it does stick. Look, I grew up watching Adventures in Odyssey, listening to the audio dramas and the animated little series that they did. And you're absolutely right. And kids repeat what they hear. They will say it and they will quote these lines again and again. And if a little bad attitude creeps into a character, sometimes you'll notice your kid starts emulating that thing. And so, you know, the AFS just wants to be really careful with what kind of content we put in, because we know how influenced kids are by what they watch. And there's a lot of positive things. There's a lot of bad things you won't find in our series, but there's a lot of positive things that we don't even think about as believers. But, you know, you're going to find that we're going to treat parents in this series as God-given authority figures in a character's life. We're going to treat the dad character, he's not going to be a foolish, you know,
dunce.
No, he's not going to be a buffoon. Exactly. And the mom's going to have wise things to say to her son. And we encourage families to love each other.
Y'all just mistreat grannies.
Exactly. Oh. Well, I mean, Granny Hot Sauce has it coming.
Well, tell again how people can get this, Kendra.
So afastore.net, you can purchase the first three episodes in a pack or individually. And we do have also some discussion questions for you and your family. If you want to build a little nightly Bible study around it, It just gets the family talking. So that'll be available online or AmericanFamilyStudios.net if you'd like to come to the premiere tomorrow in Tupelo.
In Tupelo, Mississippi.
That's
Kendra,
right.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you both.
Thank Jeremy for doing it
as well.
For his great imagination. We appreciate it. You're listening to Exploring the Word, Alex McFarland, Bert Harper. We'll be back with more, and we're going to dig into the book of Acts.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. What do you think when you hear about sanctuary cities? No big deal? Listen carefully. The statistics are alarming. Sanctuary cities have released thousands of criminal, illegal immigrants back into our local communities. Behind these statistics are untold numbers of Americans who have been victimized, rapings and other crimes, which never would have taken place if our immigration laws were simply enforced. As cities refuse to cooperate with federal immigration laws, it not only endangers American citizens, but shows complete disregard for people like you and me and for every immigrant who followed the law and immigrated legally. May there always be compassion in our hearts, but may we not be duped. There are those who appear to have caring hearts for the least of these, but who have an agenda to destroy America from within. This is a Decency Minute. Find us at AmericanDecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
Dr. Tony Evans says we're all waiting for that moment when God brings things together in our lives. An appointed time or a crossroads, the Bible describes with the Greek word kairos. We'll hear about a kairos moment today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
In 1 Samuel 9, Saul's father told him to go find the donkeys. He had lost some donkeys, and he told his son Saul, you go find those donkeys. God then went ahead of him and told Samuel, when you run across the man that's looking for the donkeys, that's the next king of Israel. Now, he didn't tell that to Saul. All Saul's doing is chasing donkeys. The story goes on to say that Saul said, I am tired of chasing donkeys. There's somebody here that's tired of chasing donkeys. Because you can't find them. It's not working out. The bills are not being paid. The career is not taking off. And you are tired of chasing donkeys. So Saul says, I quit. But Saul had a servant who was with him. He said, wait a minute, Saul. We can't quit now. We come too far to turn around. I bet you there's somebody in here that's experienced almost quitting and glad you didn't because of what you ran into. He went and he searched a little longer, and guess who he ran into? Samuel. And Samuel says, you are the next king of Israel. Some of you here this morning have your season around the corner. Don't quit too soon.
Learn more about how to find your purpose as a child of God and live it out successfully. Check out Tony's CD series, The Spiritual Toolkit, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, former federal prosecutor and best-selling author Andrew C. McCarthy breaks down FBI Director Comey's testimony. Plus, Dr. James S. Robbins discusses his article featured in today's Wall Street Journal, James Buchanan Was No Andrew Jackson. Trump Has a Point About Old Hickory and the Civil War. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk, studying the Bible and taking your questions.
Speak to me. Have opened up your word to free me. I want to hear you now.
Acts 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Right there, close to the beginning of the book of Acts, you have the thread of redemption through the book of Acts. What Alex and I are doing, we're going through the Bible, and we're looking at what is called the thread of redemption through each book. And each book points back to Christ. And as you said, Alex, every page you'll find Jesus. And in the book of Acts, there's no exception, is there?
There's no exception. There are a lot of places where we could pull out of the book of Acts references to Jesus, the one and only Savior. You know, folks, the book of Acts is kind of like a history book of the early church. But one verse I love, Bert, or I mean it really is vivid. In Acts 3:15, it says, "You killed the Prince of Life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact." Some translations call Jesus the author of life or the prince of life, but right there in chapter 3, early on, is a reference to Jesus, the Lord of life, killed, executed, crucified, but raised alive from the grave. And that's the Savior.
It is. In the first part of Acts, you really have more of Peter, and in the latter part, you have Paul, and both of these men would preach sermons, and it would go straight to Christ, and a lot of it had to do with the resurrection. And it is amazing when they would listen, but when they got to the resurrection, there'd be a rebellion with some people. Would there not be?
Oh yeah. You know, they were, you know, every now and then you'll read things like they were cut to the quick. In other words, they were incensed. And, you know, the gospel still it's a line that divides people, isn't it? I mean, there are people that receive the gospel. There are people that recoil from the gospel. But what we don't need to do and we shouldn't do in the church is try to make the gospel conform to the expectations of people. I think we need to proclaim the gospel, but we don't truncate or amend the gospel.
Well, what I want to do, and I know you have some passages, I wanted to show how Peter preached and how he proclaimed Jesus. And then I want to jump ahead real quickly. It won't take me long, but some of it is here in Matthew 3. But in Acts 2, 22 and 36, right on the day of Pentecost, verses 32 and so forth, all the way to verse 36, talk about Jesus. I want to read verses 33 and following. It says, "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out, which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Alex, that is some sermon that Peter would preach. And that last line, "this same Jesus whom you crucified." I wanted to talk about, do you see the person, and it really is adding to what you just said. Don't soft soap it. Here, Peter pinpoints it and says to these, "whom you crucified." He's requiring some personal responsibility there, isn't he?
Exactly. You know, the gospel requires a response. And in fact, even if you say, "well, I just don't want to deal with this right now," that is a response, isn't it? And this same Jesus who you crucified, you know, Bert, there's a certain personal connection for all of us that have ever lived. There's a personal connection between our sins and Christ's crucifixion. And this is not, you know, just something that, you know, is for the Jewish and Roman leaders of that day. Look, this is for each one of us. Christ went to the cross for our sins. Who nailed Jesus to the cross? We did.
Amen.
And we need to respond to what he did to give us salvation.
And then, more toward the middle in Acts 10, where Peter, for his hour listening to Peter and his sermons, he does it again. Here in Acts 10, verse 39 says, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly."
Mm-hmm.
Peter again speaks, and he's talking about this Jesus who hung on a tree, but God raised him up the third day. Peter and Paul both put a heavy load, and it's a deserved heavy load, on the resurrection of Jesus. Paul would say later on, if the resurrection of Jesus is not true, we're of men most miserable. So that's right. They're hinging everything on the resurrection, aren't they?
Absolutely. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. That's a reference to Luke 24, that Christ ate in his risen state. But listen to this. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness. In other words, the Old Testament prophets were pointing to Jesus, that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. Let's talk a little bit about that Acts 10:42 that says Jesus, the one appointed by God to be the judge of all the living and the dead. That's Jesus in the book of Acts. And yes, he was the Savior who came. He's the King who is coming. And he'll be the judge of all, won't he, Bert?
He will. And again, what we're reminding you we're doing, we're showing Jesus throughout the Bible and in the book of Acts. And what we're doing here is looking at sermons that Peter preached, where he put the responsibility individually on the individuals to look at themselves to see where they are, take responsibility of their sin, but also lifting Jesus up as the sacrifice that was needed, and also the power of the resurrection to overcome our enemy, death. But Alex, what you said, to be the judge of the living and the dead, there's no escape, is there?
No, there isn't. And, you know, to everyone listening, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you know, maybe you know about God, but you don't yet have a relationship with Christ. And, you know, maybe you just don't want to think about this. Do think about it. Deal with Jesus, because Jesus is going to deal with you. I mean, everybody. Bert, I think about the people that have been the atheists and the blasphemers and the people who mock and make a joke about Christianity. You know, Christians aren't perfect. We make mistakes, and we're not trying to get you to put your faith in a Christian who might let you down, but Christ, who never will. Look, you will face Jesus, and we want you to be ready. That's why we do this show. That's why we always talk about the gospel. And I'll say this with all the sincerity I could possibly muster. Jesus is as close by as a prayer. And if you'll call on him, confess your sins, ask him to save you, he will. And when you face the Lord one day, you can do that with joy, because you know you'll be ready, that you put your trust in Christ.
It was not only preached by Peter, but it was preached by Paul. And one of his sermons is in Acts 17, where is it? Athens, on Mars Hill. And part of that message, and I just want to read part of it again. There's so much here that they had the unknown God. But when it comes to verse 30 and following, listen to what he says. This is, again, Acts 17, verse 30. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. That's an important message. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Now, here it is. Listen to this. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." So Paul departed from them. However, some men joined him and believed. And he gives the names of those that did that. Now, Alex, it's amazing. If you were to put Peter's sermon side by side Paul's sermon, it would be hard to know which one preached what, because it was the same message, wasn't it?
That's right. You know, I was just thinking about that. They're so similar. Let me address something that oftentimes people say in academic circles. People will try to say that Paul invented Christianity. And I'll tell you one of the reasons they do that. In the academic world, they don't like what Paul has to say about moral issues. And if you read the New Testament, and Paul, you know, was used by God to write the majority of the New Testament, over half, Paul has a lot to say condemning sin, specifically condemning homosexuality. So they like to dismiss Paul, or try to dismiss Paul, because they don't like what Paul has to say about moral issues. But look, the gospel, which is the death, burial, the resurrection of the Son of God, for the sins of the world. Peter's preaching, which is clearly the gospel, that predates Paul's conversion. So clearly Paul couldn't have been, quote, the inventor of Christianity.
That is so true. And again, notice he talks about personal responsibility, and he talks about Jesus judging the world. God the Father says he has given all judgment to his Son. God the Father is giving the judgments to the Son, and it's the whole idea, what will you do with Jesus? It's one of the greatest questions ever asked. It was asked by Pilate. Now, the answer was wrong. They cried out, crucify him, but at least Pilate asked the question, what would you have me to do with Jesus, or what would you do with Jesus? And we ask that just about every program. Alex and I ask you, what will you do with Christ? He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is Messiah. And he wants to be your Savior. And notice one other thing before we go into the next sermon that I wanted to draw out about Paul preaching to an individual, and that is the idea of repentance. He just didn't lay it down. He brought it back just like John the Baptist and Jesus did. Paul doesn't forget repentance, does he?
No, he doesn't, because that's part of the gospel, that we are to turn from sin to Christ. And, you know, the book of Acts is the history of the early church and the conversion of Paul, but it's also really about the worldwide missionary heart of the early church that goes on to this day. You know, Jesus is the theme of the Bible. Jesus is the foundation of our good news. You know, Bert, I mean, we would not have any good news without the great reality that the Son of God so loved the world that he would lay down his life. I mean, he is our message. Without Jesus, we don't have a Christianity. We don't have a message, do we?
We do not. And he is the theme. That's that thread of redemption throughout the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. One last one that I wanted to bring up, and I know there's others here, but I wanted to show Paul preaching to an individual called King Agrippa. This is in chapter 26, and he shares with King Agrippa about his journey, what he had done, and you can learn a lot from Paul's testimony when he gives it to King Agrippa. He makes it personal, but he also bases it upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to read verses 22 and 23, and yes. I know there's more, but let me read those of chapter 26. It says, therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. Now here it is, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people. And listen to this last one, and right. to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Paul expanded the missional effort toward Gentiles to be called. He would be apostle to the Gentiles. And
yes.
But here it is. He gives the same message to the small and the great, whether he was in Athens or whether he was before King Agrippa, before someone that was just... we would call him a nobody for his their political power, or here before a king. It's the same message, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And, you know, the Acts 26 here, it also really is worth considering the Acts 28. And I want to talk about Acts 28:20. But, you know, in Paul's message here, we clearly, the resurrection of Jesus is proof of his saviorhood, his messiahship. Then, clearly we get that God is not a respecter of persons. The good news is for Jew and Gentile, for the whole wide world. But thirdly, don't miss that there is a distinction between Jew and Gentile, isn't it? It says Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. The reason I say that, Bert, I got this question today in a college class I was teaching. Hasn't the church replaced Israel? And the answer is no. Israel is Israel, and the church is the church. Now, whoever is born again is part of the church, the body of Christ worldwide. Let me say, every person who's saved is part of the church, but not every Gentile is part of the church. Not every Jew is part of the church. Jews and Gentiles, there is a distinction, and God has a program for the nation of Israel. And I just think it's important to point out that the church hasn't supplanted Israel as far as the promises of God and future events.
Amen. Well, you wanted to get to chapter 28, verse 20, and the time's going to allow us to do that. Go ahead and take that away, Alex.
Well, in Acts 28:20, it says that Jesus is, quote, the hope of Israel, the Messiah who has already come. Do Jewish people need Jesus? Absolutely. Remember back in Acts 1, verse 8, it says to the Jew first, well, Romans 1:16, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, and Acts 1:8 says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Gentiles need Jesus. Jewish people need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. And in fact, he is the hope of Israel.
Amen. What you have, and I wanted to do one more thing since we had time. I didn't know if we'd have time. Let's go back to Acts 1:8, and we find this promise. But you shall, this is the promises, and Jesus is making it to those who are gathered at his ascension. But you shall receive power when your Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. That promise is fulfilled all the way in the book of Acts. Let me just give it real quickly. It won't take me but a second. In Jerusalem, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell, and the gospel would be heard in all the languages as they spoke in other languages. That's Acts 2, 1 through 4. Then, in Acts chapter 10, he's in Samaria, and that's part of Judea, that Jerusalem, but he's in Samaria. In Acts chapter 10, 44 through 48, again, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in other languages. So you have Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And then in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, he's in Ephesus, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke the gospel again in other languages.
Right.
And in the book of Acts, Acts 1:8 is really fulfilled as they would become witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there's a phrase in there, and you remember exactly, your memory so much better. These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also.
Mm.
Alex, this did in the book of Acts demonstrates what men empowered by the Holy Spirit can do, doesn't it?
That's right. You know, I love that phrase in Acts 17 where it says these men, and really that was kind of an accusation, wasn't it? You know, and they were going to be beaten. The disciples were going to be drugged before the city officials in Acts 17:6 and accused. And the charge, what were they guilty of? Well, they've turned the world upside down. And many people have said that in winning folks to Christ, what the church is really doing, we're turning the world right side up.
Amen.
The world's upside down already, Bert, in my opinion.
Amen.
Billy Graham, in preaching the gospel, and people said, you know, preaching this simple message, Jesus only, you've set the church back 50 years. And Billy Graham said, well, then I failed because I wanted to set the church back 2,000 years.
Amen.
Back to that message of Jesus.
Okay, now let's do it real quick. We're playing gymnastics here with the book of Acts. But in the last verse, let me read it. Preaching the kingdom of God, this is about Paul, what he was doing. Preaching and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Other versions say an unhindered gospel. He was preaching unhindered.
Right.
That's, I want to share that with you. Jesus Christ wants to come into your life, and he wants to change your life and be set free in your life so it will be unhindered of what he can do in your life. It's amazing what he can do.
Amen. Amen.
888-589-8840 is the phone number. If you have a question for Alex and myself, we'd love to hear from you. 888-589-8840. We'll be back with more of Exploring the Word right after this break.
Could God use social media for a revival? Did you know that technology was foundational to the advancement of revival during the Third Great Awakening? For the decade preceding 1857, technologies such as the telegraph, the printing process, photography, and transportation advanced exponentially. As we look over the past decade, we see that Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, and other forms of social technology have exploded in much the same way. These tools have allowed us today to do exactly what happened the decade before the Third Great Awakening. It spread the stories of what God can do in people's lives and communities through revival. I don't find it coincidental, but providential, that God is paving the way for those stories today. This is Byron Paulus, CEO of Life Action Ministries for OneCry.com.
OneMillionDads.com is where men can learn and grow together as men of the cross. Close families and even national revival begin at home with strong fathers in the faith.
I really like how the website provides so many articles. They're all just dead on to help me as a father.
Go to the website, read the articles. You're not alone. OneMillionDads.com. Lead or others will.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each afternoon at 4 p.m. Central Time for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others every day on AFR.
You know, if you see a huge group of people and they're all in line waiting to do something and they're all happy about it, don't you wonder, okay, what's going on? What am I missing here? Why are these people so excited? In this case, it's thousands of people doing the same thing. They're joining MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses. It's that simple. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993, so they can handle your healthcare expenses too. With MediShare, you get affordable options to fit almost any budget. For most members, MediShare is about half the cost of other healthcare programs. You should at least check into it. This may be one of those things you start doing and then wonder, why didn't I look into this a long time ago? What was I thinking? Don't miss out. You can find out more. Call 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, and we're taking your phone calls, and lines are filled up, so we're just going to go straight to the phone lines. Amen. Let's go to Michigan and talk to Keith. Keith, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing good today, brother.
That's great. Hey, he is risen again.
Amen.
Amen. He is risen indeed.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment. It's that I heard you earlier interviewing the young ladies about the Ryan DeFreitas and such, and making a comment about Adventures in Odyssey and how that. And I used to listen to it when I was in my 20s. It's not just for kids. It is a great program. And I'm
God
looking
bless
forward
you.
To listening to all about the Ryan DeFreitas.
Amen.
That's true. God bless you. You know, Paul McCusker, who really kind of was one of the main founders of it, who's worked for Dr. Dobson and focused on the family for many years, and I know a lot of the people that are behind Odyssey. They would be thrilled to know that yes, moms and dads and grown-ups listen to it as well. So God bless you.
I got to tell you a story real quick. Won't take but a second. I was on the board here at AFA and AFR for several years before I became part of the staff. And we were talking about the Saturday morning lineup and are we really getting the most out of it with its children's hours and everything. And they were talking about it, and I just spoke up and I said, guys, it's not just the kids that listen to it. I listen to it every chance I get. So, Keith, you're not alone, man. And I was a little older than you, and I enjoy that. I guess that speaks to the level of my enjoyment. Thank you for that great comment. We're going to go to another Keith in Texas. Keith, welcome.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing great, brother.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I listen to you from time to time, and I appreciate you guys. And, you know, one thing that always pops up sometimes is that, you know, the evolution thing about, you know, how the some Christians try to mix that in with, you know, biblical truth. And, you know, even in Revelation, John says, I saw a new heaven and new earth, which apparently God created immediately, I mean, just by the text. So, I mean, there's kind of proof that, you know, he didn't need millions and billions of years and all that stuff to create, you know, to create everything. So,
God bless you. You know, the caller is referring to something called theistic evolution that I really stand against. There are a lot of people, and this kind of began in the 19th century when Darwin published his book on the origin of species and, you know, basically said, you know, we don't need a creator, we evolve, we weren't created. There were a lot in the church, not because the text of Scripture suggests this or not because there was any evidence, but they said, well, somehow we can harmonize Genesis and Darwin. And there are a lot of reasons that I think we shouldn't do that. But even there was an evolutionist named Stephen Jay Gould, and he was very influential in the U.S. Department of Education. He was an evolutionist, but he said in an interview in 1984, and this is a quote, the man that was highly influential in the life of Darwin, Charles Lyell, who was a lawyer, Lyell won with rhetoric what he could not carry with data. In other words, all this idea of millions of years, all this idea of evolution, all this idea of the fossil record supporting evolution, not creation, it's false. And even an arch evolutionist, Stephen Jay Gould, said that Lyell and Darwin, quote, won with rhetoric what they could not prove with data, meaning it was a sales job. And so, Bert, I think there are going to be a lot of preachers, professors, and Christians, or professed Christians, and that they really sold out the Word of God, not to mention the opinion of our Savior, when they tried to mesh the Scriptures of God with the godless evolution of Darwin. It's a harmonization that can't take place and shouldn't even be tried.
Amen. And I would say this, when you began to investigate the DNA, and Alex, you have done this so well on our program, and you see how the repetition and how it corrects mutations rather than passing it on. Evolution, you must understand, and I call it a philosophy. Used to it was a theory, but I believe it's a philosophy. Here's my thoughts on it, anything but God. And that's the thought. And then those that are trying to tie it into Scripture, I think they're trying to tie in a completely false philosophy with truth. And truth and untruth, lies, do not mix. And so I think you come better off coming out with the Scriptures and just let the Scriptures speak. Keith, thank you for listening from time to time, and I'm glad you called today. Let's go to your state of North Carolina, Alex, and talk to Todd. Todd, welcome.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing good today.
I've got two comments to make. One, I guess this is a day to speak about Adventures in Odyssey. Because, you know, I'll be 55 in September, and I've been listening to that show for the past 15 to 20 years. So it's like that's definitely a show for all ages of the family, for sure.
Amen.
And it's hard to believe that this coming November will be his 30th anniversary.
Well, let me butt in just for a second. We're not cutting you off, Todd. I know you're not through.
Right.
But I'll tell you why it became one of my great ones. Otis on Andy Griffith's show, Hal Smith, become effective at the voices. Was it Mr. Whitaker?
He was
the voice. And I liked it. But when I found out they was using Otis from the Andy Griffith Show, I liked it doubly well, Todd and Alex.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, I know there have been several well-known TV actors that have had voice parts on their show, but anyway, we won't go into that. But there's a bit of a pet peeve that I've had that I've heard as far as teaching with Bible teachers and pastors about, for whatever reason, they will use the terms referring to ancient Israel as Palestine, and sometimes they've used it even in modern day to refer to that land as Palestine. And I know from the history I know that that part of the world didn't become to be known as Palestine until after the Romans put down the last revolt in 135 A.D. when they renamed that land Palestine. It just bothers me to hear, you know, some Bible teachers use those two terms for the same piece of land.
I mean, yeah. Todd, I want to tell you an experience I had. My wife and I were getting our passports, and it was desperate. So to make a long story short, we were in New Orleans, Louisiana, at an office getting our passport, and we were saying, we're going to Israel. There was a group there that was Arabic they were Middle Eastern. They were not Jewish. And we were talking about going to the same place, and they said, we're going to Palestine. I said, well, I'm going to Israel. And there is kind of a difference there, isn't there, Alex?
Well, there is. You know, it's an ancient word. The word Palestine is a word that means to migrate or migratory. And it was referred to the inhabitants of the people who lived outside of Egypt, the Philistines. And the Philistines were a migratory people. They were all, you know, traveling around. And the caller is right. After World War II, there was after World War I, there was a British mandate that divvied up the land. And part of what is now Israel and Jordan, there was this part of land that was called Palestine. And the Arabic people, 99.99% Muslim, were living in there. And sometimes you've heard the word Transjordan. But after 1948, it was very common for the media to refer to all the people living in that land as Palestinians. And not to mention the fact that, I mean, there were Jewish people there and Arabs there. So it's a misleading term, and I believe the use of the word Palestine for that whole land area, it undermines the Jewish, by divine right and by historical precedent, the Jewish claim on the land. I really think to refer to all that land as Palestine, it undermines the Jewish right to be a sovereign nation there in their homeland.
Todd, thank you for that. And you have two people that agree with you right here. And we appreciate your call. Let's go to Texas and talk to David. David, welcome.
Hi, Bert and Alex. I sure am enjoying this series you're doing of the Thread of Redemption, hitting all the books. It's really excellent.
Thank you, brother.
Alex, I'm reading your book right now about Abandoned Faith that you and Jason have written, and it's really good.
God bless you. Thank you.
I'm calling about, we're going through Acts in our sermon series in church, and there was somewhere our pastor referred to a passage, I think it was 1 Timothy, but I can't seem to find it. I think Paul was talking before Felix or Agrippa, and he said that Jesus had appeared to him several times. I know the road to Damascus, and I know Paul spent some time in the desert. I was wondering if you could kind of clarify that for me, how the risen Christ appeared to Paul.
Okay. Well, we know he appeared there, but sometimes he would be in prison. Remember that, Alex? And mm-hmm. It says the angel would appear to him there. There's much discussion. Was that Jesus, not the pre-incarnate Jesus, but him being a messenger and appearing to him, or is it an angel talking with him? I know those times. Can you think of any other?
Well, I think one of the 1 Corinthians 15:8, where Paul says Jesus appeared to me as one born out of due time, or, you know, I think about this. It's almost like Paul was saying, I was late to the party, because Jesus appeared to the women, the apostles, 500 brethren. He appeared to James. And last of all, as one untimely born or late, he appeared to me. That's 1 Corinthians 15:8. But you're right. When Paul was before Felix in Acts 24, you know, he appealed to the fact that Christ was resurrected, and he was an apostle. He had seen the risen Jesus. That was the test for apostleship, wasn't it?
It was.
And so, you know, the caller also referred to 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul says, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord? So I don't know, Bert, that we definitively know how many times Jesus appeared to Paul in the desert, in prison. We don't know, but he definitely had experienced the risen Christ.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, David. And thank you for being a church where your pastor is preaching and following along. That thrills me to hear that. Let's go to North Carolina and talk to Eric. Eric, welcome.
How you doing, sir?
Doing good, brother.
And I appreciate you, y'all two guys. Y'all doing the good work of the Lord. I appreciate it, Doc.
God bless you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My question is, Mr. Mafalan and Bert, I don't know your last name, Bert.
That's Harper. Yeah. That's all right.
Okay. John Mark is the same person, but why is it two different books in the gospel? And then, you know, Mark and John. John Mark, one person, but two different books. Why is that?
Okay, we'll take that on. Let me just set it up and let Alex do the long-winded stuff. I try to do the short things. It's two different persons. There was more than one John, just like there was more than one James. And John, the one that was a brother to James, wrote the book of John. John Mark, on the other hand, he wrote Mark. Is that correct, Alex?
Yep, that's right. So John the Apostle and John Mark, who's the author of the Gospel of Mark, two different people.
They're two different people, Eric, and that's the reason. Thank you, brother. Thank you for listening, and we appreciate it. Let's go to Alabama and talk to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, welcome.
Hi. I have a question. Is there any principle in the Bible, anything that relates to the idea of people that, you know, they have a job and they work all the hours that their employer wants them to, and they work all the hours that can, if there's any overtime, they certainly take that to get the hours and the extra pay. But so they're working all the hours that their employer wants them to, but then on the side, you know, they need a little extra money. So outside of their work hours, you know, they're working some on the side. Is there anything, and I don't see how you could see that as stealing, because they're giving the employer all the time that they want. So is there any reason that as Christians that we either should not be doing that or should not take advantage of the opportunity? I can't really think of anything, but I want to know if y'all...
Okay, Elizabeth, thank you. We haven't got a lot of time. Alex, I'm not sure I know everything, but there's nothing wrong with having a second job, is there?
No, God bless you. I want to say I really appreciate the fact that you would want to inquire about this and get God's take on this. There's a balance. All right, let me say this. Proverbs, which I love Proverbs. In Proverbs 23, verse 4, it says, "Do not labor to get wealth." And some translations say, "Don't wear yourself out to get rich." But then also in Proverbs 24:33, it says, "A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, poverty will come on you like a thief." Now, there's a balance. Be industrious, work, save, do what you can do, but don't let it absorb your whole life. And I think for each individual, God's going to have to show you that balance.
One of the great testimonies of one of the men that ran for president this same was Dr. Ben Carson. And he would talk about how much his mom worked just so they could do it. The housing they lived in was difficult, but she worked and had more than one job. The only qualification I'd say, Elizabeth, you don't cheat one for the other. Treat, mm-hmm. If you've got a second employment, do everything you can to treat each one of them fairly and rightly. Don't fudge and mistreat one of them. Alex, that's as good as I can think of.
That's right. And just be a tither. Don't let your work undermine your walk with the Lord, your family, or your service to your local church.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word today. It's been a joy to be with you. It's good to hear about Ryan DeFreitas, and you can go to afastore.net and you can find out more about that, and we hope you will. Again, join us tomorrow for more of Exploring the Word as we take the thread of redemption through the Bible. Yes. Tell someone about it, but more importantly, tell someone about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.